With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to another edition of Shoot the Defence. And just as I do this, my ring doorbell is going crazy because someone's putting the rubbish out. But don't worry, my bin is full, so nothing else can go in it. Jesus. Rod, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. You?
Yeah, all good, man. All good, all good. You've got a blurry background today. You're hiding
the
dog.
Yeah, and I've had it since I changed it, haven't I?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It suits you. It suits you. Blurry background.
It's a bit blurry, isn't it?
Yeah, it's blurry background.
No, I'm going to change it.
Oh, come on. Keep it blurry. Put something else on. Put something else. He's taking a piss now. Steve, how you doing, man?
Evening, Stel. You okay, mate?
All good, all good. How long has it been? A couple weeks? Since you last did the show? I can't remember.
Yeah, last end of the Euros, wasn't it?
After the Euros, wasn't it? Fucking hell. I think we all needed a bit of a break because that was a show every couple of days, wasn't it? Every two or three days. So, yeah, but it's all mad. Mr. Dwamino, what's going on?
I love the way that you pronounce it correctly.
Well, yeah, people call you Dwamino, innit?
Are you secret?
Mr. Dwamino!
Are you secret? Have you secretly got some Ghanaian in you?
So. Well, I've been listening to Chipmunk having a go at Stormzy, you know, he's a bit in Ghanaian. So, you know, I thought I'd learn a bit, you know, and obviously I've got a few Ghanaian friends abroad. But right now it's the Jollof Wars, man. It's Nigeria against Ghana.
I can't fathom some of what's been said about the Jollof Wars. Yeah, I'm on the verge of boycotting Shoot the Defence when I'm not on there.
Yeah? It's got nothing to do with me.
For the boycott, no chofters. You're getting on these people that like Nigerian jollof. Yeah.
Well, hold on.
These people are serial killers. Yeah. They're threats to society.
Jesus Christ. Listen, Chris, I'm sorry. If you're watching, that Dan doesn't really mean that you're a serial killer. Fucking hell, man. Well, listen, I've got my two Nigerian friends in Cyprus that like the Nigerian jollof. I've got you, that's a Ghanaian. I've got Ernest in Cyprus. I've got Chris that likes Nigerian jollof, even though he's Ghanaian.
And I've got coach
And I've got Fofana in Cyprus, who's from the Ivory Coast, talking to me about Ivory Coast jollof. This is brilliant. Rod, is there any Welsh rice that can compare?
Welsh rice? Well, I'm from Welsh Sierra Leone. I've got a bit of African, haven't I?
Have you?
Yeah.
Really? What? Sierra Leone, yeah?
My father's side was born in Freetown, Sierra Leone.
Wow.
There you go.
What's the jollof there like?
Pardon?
What's the jollof there like?
What do you mean? Rice? Say what?
The jollof rice.
Plain. it's like goop, in China, you know, like the old
in China,
goop. Yeah, goop, rice pudding.
Okay, excellent. I can't believe for the last 5 minutes we've been talking about rice.
Well, this is how you get the worldwide appeal, by being cultural. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
This is how you get in the top five in multiple different countries.
Cultural diversity, yeah. And, you know, on that note, where are we? Top 20 in Russia, in Poland, in, where else? France, in Italy, top 10 in Slovakia, in Latvia, Cyprus, obviously. This is crazy. What? Why are people listening to this?
Have you even plugged today's pod on the socials. I'm scrolling through and I can't see anything, mate.
I haven't, no. So if you could do the honours, that'd be great. Because I can't be fucking bothered.
Terrible behaviour.
I can't be bothered, mate. But this is the second pod I've done today, so I'm running out of steam. Right, so let's talk about football, because this is what we're fucking here for. And I think there's only one place to start, and that's Varane is leaving Real Madrid to join Manchester United. Now, now listen, I don't get excited too much about many deals involving Manchester United Football Club, because over the years, especially since Ferguson left, there have been a handful of talented players, Falcao, Di Maria, so on and so forth. And they've come to Pogba, and they've flattered to deceive. And now Varane is coming to United. Then I'm going to ask this question to you, Steve, and I'm going to start right on the negativity right now, okay? Because I remember when Man City played Real Madrid, wasn't Varane seen as kind of like Real Madrid's weak link?
I'm not sure about that. No? You might be right. You might be right. I don't know. But I just obviously heard all the names you mentioned there. That have come into Manchester United possibly in the last 5, 7, 8 years. And they all expected to do things in the last third. Some of them are expected to be box office. And it's hard to live up to sometimes, despite, you know, going to a fantastic football club. You know, the levels of the Premier League makes it, you know, not that easy. But you're getting a different animal here, I think, in terms of what's required of him, you know, to give Harry Maguire some support. Possibly it'll be Henderson behind them and basically stiffen up their back line, where they've been crying out for a consistent centre-half for a long time now, since, you know, Vidic and Ferdinand left. So Maguire's filled the role and he's actually gained some stripes with his England performances. But his partner, Lindelof and Bally, they either are out of form or out of fitness. So all the names you've mentioned there, I don't think this Varane is supposed to really come here and get you off your seat. But I do think he is supposed to come in and add some maturity to a really emerging team. So at this stage on paper, it looks a fantastic signing to me.
Rod, we had it with Harry Maguire last season, 80 million quid, you know, talented central defender. It took him a bit of time to get settled, et cetera, et cetera. In all fairness, Lindelof isn't the greatest partner. So do you think Varane is the one where you can safely say, right, we're going to see the best of Harry Maguire now?
Well, you can never say 100% yes, but, you know, the signs are all there. Like Stez has just mentioned there, you know, you're getting a stud now. You're getting a 28-year-old really in his prime, 4 Champions League, 1 World Cup. So there's no like, oh, he needs to settle in the Premier League. He needs to come in and you expect him to hit the ground running and make Harry Maguire better and them to complement each other. Because, you know, you can have the best centre-half in the world, but you still need someone, you know, next to him who's adequate. And it really makes the best back fours, historically, have always had a great, solid back four with the two centre-halves, you know, Carvalho, Terry, Bruce, Pallister, Vidic, Rio Ferdinand. You know, that partnership is key to winning a Premier League. So, you know, ultimately, we've seen it before, the best defences win the Premier League. So we've been crying out for a centre-half, a quality one. You know, we've been saying, oh, where are they? We've got one. We've got one from Real Madrid. We very, very rarely get players from Real Madrid in the prime. You know, we say Di Maria, but, you know, these South Americans, they're hit and miss when it comes to places like Manchester. Yes, he's done well in Paris, but it's just a different ball game when these South Americans come. They're just hit or miss. Where he's not, he's from France. And like I say, he's a stud. His pedigree says that. And you'd expect Harry Maguire to be better and vice versa. And with Luke Shaw performing very well, if he keeps that performance in, you know, if the rumours are right, another right back comes in and pushes Wan-Bissaka that Telles did to Shaw, that made Shaw better. That's all you need. You'd help the competition and it's only better for the team and the squad. So to answer your question, I think Maguire will get better from it and there will be a good partnership because, like I say, he's proven.
Okay, so you effectively it's going to be Varane and Maguire, the two central defenders. Bailly and Lindelof will be the backups. You have
he gets a chance to play a free though now. You know, if they bring certain players in order, or, you know, they can Wan-Bissaka. I think Wan-Bissaka would be a brilliant a third man on the right. You know, with his pace, i.e., we've seen with Walker, how his last ditch tackles or his pace gets him out of trouble. I think Wan-Bissaka could be that man for United, but only in certain games. But you know, it's an option for Ollie, and you need options as a coach and more options you can.
Absolutely, but what I was going to ask you is that, you know, if we've got, for example, let's say he decides to play a back four, and you've got Wan-Bissaka, you've got Lindelof, you've got Varane, you've got Maguire and Shaw as the first choice, then you've got Bailly and Lindelof as your backup central defenders. That must mean that Phil Jones is going, right? He's going. He's got to go now. They've got to fuck him off somehow.
Well, he's got. You know, he doesn't have to go anywhere. He's got a contract.
Well,
he's been more than happy to sit on his ass for 2 or 3 years. The guy's absolutely a sad individual to sit in a team not knowing. And this is your career, and you just sat on the stands for 2 years. Do something about it. Say, no, I want to go, I want to leave, I'll go somewhere else. But no, he's been happy to sit there, criticise the manager openly. We've seen that on the TV. So yeah, it's a strange one because me, I'd have had him out straight out the door.
Well, these you got to think about who wants a signing. But the other question that it leads me on to is that fine, you know, you got Phil Jones.
They're still not hanging that next Robson, Van Robson. Yeah. That's surely washed away now. That.
Jesus Christ, next Pop Robson. Well, yeah. So that leads me on to Axel Tuanzebe, who, you know, had his chance last season. What does this mean for him now?
I'm reading that they're trying to sign him, but then put him out on loan. So
yeah,
that's obviously the one they want to keep hold of. But that's down to the lad. What does he want to do? Does he think, okay, I can go away in a Premier League side, perform well, and then, you know, i.e. Jesse Lingard, and come back? And that's what you want. That's what you want your players to do. That's the idea of Ole Solskjaer putting him out alone. Oh, there you go. You get the week in, week out games that you want. Let's see what you can do. And if you do well, then you come back and you'll be in my plans. If not, then you move on.
Okay. Dan, you watch a lot of La Liga. First of all, does this signing surprise you, given the fact that United have obviously spent a lot of money already on Jadon Sancho, which we're going to go into in just a moment?
It's surprising, no, because this was dragged on for so long now. It's not surprised me as much as if it was done rapidly. But Madrid kind of had their hands tied here, didn't they? Because Ferran's only got a year left on his contract. He said that he's not willing to sign an extension. So, therefore, better to sell him now than lose him for free. So this, don't get us wrong, has been a world-class defender for quite a few years. But I would say, especially in the last 18 months, for example, and this kind of sits with what you were saying earlier when you asked Steve about when Madrid played Manchester City, he's not consistently performed well in the last 18 months as he had to the time prior before that. I don't know whether or not winning the World Cup or anything has changed him mentally or whatever, but I think that this move will help him, this new challenge will help him, and we will see now how well he can fare without Sergio Ramos next to him, because he tended to have his best performances when he was next to Ramos, but we've seen him struggle when Ramos has been out through injury or suspension. But no bones about it, this is a huge signing for United. But as you said, they've signed this type of calibre of player before and it's not necessarily worked out. The best signing in the last few years has been Bruno Fernandes, and people knew that he was good, but they never knew he'd have this impact on United. So therefore, other people have been like, oh, why weren't other teams willing to get him? But they were, but some of them thought maybe he doesn't do enough when he's not scoring or assisting or whatever, and they pulled out, didn't think the money was worth it. But no, this is a good, this is a good purchase, and we'll see now. I just think now, if United can get a holding midfielder, then I think things will look very interesting. But sadly for them, I still don't know whether or not, regardless of the caliber of individuals they bring in, I still don't know whether or not Solskjaer or not is the guy to take them, to get them anywhere near back to where they were before, when obviously before Fergie retired.
Yeah, it's one of those I've been lingering on for a while, isn't it? Is he the guy to do it? Is he not? But Steve, when we recorded our last show, we were talking about Jadon Sancho and how he was on the verge of joining United. That deal is now complete. It's been announced. Big, big signing, in my opinion. I don't think there's been a buzz about United signing a player since probably Cristiano Ronaldo. And I think it's a similar kind of buzz. Don't get me wrong, the Pogba signing was huge, but the announcement, the elaborate advert, all that kind of stuff, the fanfare that came along, it kind of set him up to fail, if that makes sense. But Sancho, everything's kind of gone under the radar. There's been no piano playing or anything like that. So I think this will be a very, very shrewd signing. You know, if you use the word shrewd for a £70 million player.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it's been an undercurrent for a long time now that he's coming, but now it's announced. It comes with a lot of noise and expectation, but he looks like a young man that thrives on that attention. Not to the point, you know, like Paul Pogba type of attention, which isn't always warranted. But at the same time, Sancho looks like he thrives off football, real genuine football attention. So I don't necessarily mean like dyeing his hair or, you know, doing silly dances in the dressing room, but he looks like he wants the number seven shirt or he wants the
title of being the king of Old Trafford in the future. I admire him immensely because of, I left Manchester City as a coach as he was joining as a schoolboy, but it seemed in no time at all he was leaving, but he was impatient. He didn't get chosen for an American tour, and I think Phil Foden did. And he's took himself away. He's took himself to learn a new language, a new culture, a new set of teammates. He had to break in an adult football team. He got TV coverage and he's done all this and some. The goals, the assists, the performances, the character. And it's all grown, which has made him an England international and got him back to the Premier League. So I really admire his journey that he's chosen, which is actually the opposite of Foden's, who stayed in-house. And it's been perfect for him too. So the fact that the Premier League now and Manchester United are getting such a player with so much, you know, experience for such a young man, Champions League games with Dortmund and, you know, fighting at the top of the Bundesliga, I think it's a brilliant, brilliant signing. And the noise and the attention that he'll get, I expect him to thrive off it, absolutely milk it, but not necessarily get spoiled by it. And I think he's going to be a real asset to Man United in the Premier League.
And you know what? I look at the standard of fullbacks in the Premier League, and I can't say that there are many that are fantastic at defending. And I don't think there are many that are blessed with pace. And we've seen his skill and trickery. I know people are going to say to me, well, it's the Bundesliga and this and that. But is the standard of defending that much better in the Premier League than it is in comparison to the Bundesliga? I don't know. But, you know, this kid is blessed with so much talent, so much pace. And I hope for his sake that he keeps his head screwed on, because we've heard stories about him having friendships with certain players in Manchester or in London, and how it's almost, I wouldn't say it's similar to Ravel Morrison, because Ravel Morrison's group of friends were on a different level. But in terms of being disruptive, what I've been told is that perhaps Sancho's circle of friends are like that in that respect. So I hope that he's moved to United and his dad, you know, ties him up somehow. I don't know. Looks after him. I don't know.
If I could just say, Stel, before you hand it to the lads, I think United have obviously progressed. I know they were a penalty kick away, a goalkeeper's penalty kick away, second in the Premier League. Still, the supporters weren't suggesting that the gap was close enough on City or the football was good enough. But they've done all this without any real crosses from the right-hand side. You've got Juan Mata that used to play on the right-hand side coming in off his left. You've got Mason Greenwood coming in, scoring off the right hand side, off his left. And if Marcus Rashford played on the right, largely, he would get blocked off by just running in a straight line. Wan-Bissaka tackles left wingers, but doesn't really do anything in the last third. So if we're to believe that Kieran Trippier is going to come, which I expect, and now we've got Sancho coming as signed on the dotted line, all of a sudden Manchester United, you know, just go up another level in my eyes, because it's almost a guarantee that they're going to now go from literally no crosses from the right-hand side to like an unbelievable amount of service coming from that side. If it's Sancho and Trippier, for sure. And I can only imagine that Cavani is rubbing his hands.
Absolutely. And Rod, I haven't spoken to you about Sancho. Shockwaves, I guess. Now, this has surely got to be the signing, and Varane, obviously, for people to now talk up United's chances of winning the title. I don't think there's any more excuses. There's got to be a title charge, right?
Well, the season's not started yet. And, you know, if the next week we lose Paul Pogba, then, you know, so that's a big miss for us, big loss for us. So, yes, we've got two quality players in. But, you know, most games are won in the middle of the park. And, you know, yes, Fred and McTominay are OK players, but no Paul Pogba. And, yes, Bruno Fernandes, but he's not that type of ball, that type of player that, you know, will keep the ball. He gives away the ball with the risks he takes. And you know, we were happy to do that because he makes assists and he scores goals. But, you know, to control the midfield and to have a player like Paul Pogba to lose him, then that would be massive. But if we kept him, then yeah, 100%. You know, we've shored up the defence and we've got a player that is just an absolute assist machine, whichever side you put on. If you look at his stats, whether he plays on the left or he plays on the right, one way he scores more and assists less, and the other he assists more and scores less, but more or less are the same on either side. So, yeah, it's a massive signing for us, this Varane, because it shows up the back, which we need, because, yes, Lindelof has done well, but in the big games he's made mistakes and the glaring mistakes. And you know, if you want to win things and you want to play at Manchester United, you can't make the mistake, especially in the big games.
There you go. Right, let's move swiftly on to your team, Dan. Liverpool, one signing so far, Konate. So I presume Gomez and Van Dijk will be fully fit for the season. Wijnaldum's gone. So there's no replacement there. So I presume Harvey so-and-so.
Harvey Elliott.
Yeah, I was going to call him Harvey Barnes for a second, but, you know, MC Harvey, I don't know. Grealish is gone, even though he was a waste of time, to be fair.
It's just a shame because Grealish is actually a very good player. But
What's going on at Liverpool, man? You were saying before that there's no money. I struggle to believe that there's no money whatsoever. You got wages free now because of Wijnaldum. Shaqiri's talking about leaving.
Yeah, so what's going on? Shaqiri's probably going to end up getting Lazio. There's a lot of teams, big teams in Europe that are looking at Shaqiri, so he's asked to leave. I would have loved for him to have had more game time, but obviously injuries have been a big part of that. But he's a good player. But yeah, when I say no money, I'm embellishing, it's hyperbole, but there's not huge money. We know that with Liverpool anyway, there's not huge money. Whenever they've mainly, through Klopp's tenure, have spent quite big, it's been because there's been players going out for big money. But we need a striker. Because I feel Origi, if anyone that knows me knows that as soon as Origi scored that goal to win the Champions League 2 years ago, I wanted him out of the club. Like, just because of the fact that I just don't think he's good enough. Though he scored some very important goals for us, I don't think he's good enough. And especially, he's on quite high wages as well. He's on about 130 or 140 a week. So I've wanted him to go. Harry Wilson is, if he's not done already, he's going Fulham. So we're basically getting rid of, people call it Deadwood, but some of these guys are decent players. Grealish, good player, good central midfielder. Harry Wilson's got a wicked left foot, and I'm surprised no one tried to buy him, because 2 seasons ago when he was on loan at Bournemouth, he was their second top scorer in the league. There'll be others that go. Shaqiri, I've said, wouldn't mind Origi going. Nat Phillips, unfortunately, might go. and I'm a fan of his, but obviously with everyone returning from injury, Gomez, Van Dijk and Matip returning from injury, you fall down the list, and obviously Konate has been brought now. I still expect Matip and Konate to start the season because Van Dijk should be playing against Hertha Berlin in the friendly on Thursday, but he's a long, long way away from match sharpness. I can't see him starting a game until the earliest September, and Joe Gomez might even be out for longer than him. So we'll see how it works, but fans are getting restless because they're seeing other teams spending money and they want more. But we've never necessarily done it like that. We'll go out and we don't buy stars. You're not going to see Liverpool buy a Varane, regardless of if it's the last contract or whatever. We buy people who were maybe on the way there or seen as good, and then we've tended to make them better. We got Thiago, but that was for peanuts because he had a year left. So we'll see. So fans are quietly optimistic, but then at the same time, they're thinking that just thinking you're going to get these players back from injury, Henderson as well, because he missed like the last 3 months of the season, does not guarantee that you're going to immediately go back to challenging, because United are improving. Well, obviously they've come over for us, but we've had an injury crisis last season. City will do something. It might not be as big as people think. It might not be Kane or Grealish, but City are going to go and do something. I've actually thought as a cheaper alternative, City would have got Andre Silva, but he's gone Leipzig for peanuts. So, and Chelsea, if they get a striker, because their top scorer, I think, had 12 in all competitions, and they've gone FA Cup final and they won the Champions League and squeezed in Champions League. So there's teams getting better around us. So you can't think automatically just because you're getting your people back fit that you're going to challenge. So it's going to be interesting. It should be a very good Premier League season, but I understand why some Liverpool fans are a bit restless watching other people make moves around them, and it's just been Konate so far.
But Dan, this is what you guys are doing now is what Liverpool have been doing for many years. And by that, I mean, you make your sales first and then you bring in players. I think you lot have raised close to 30 million quid on player sales. I think what's his name? Wilson went for 12 million. Yeah. I think Ojo's leaving. Minamino might leave. Shaqiri, all these players. So perhaps it's come to a point where you have to sell before you can buy, like most other teams, no?
Yeah, that's what I was saying before. That's what we've mainly been doing. But I think it's just because here nobody sees anyone going for over 20 million. Usually we've been able to flog some, but as well as Michael Edwards doing a great job flogging people that were in the first 16 or 17 of Klopp's, if you like, for very good money, there's not anyone sees going for big, big money. So I think that's why they're worried, because they're thinking that who are we really going to bring in? But you don't have to spend big. It's not about spending big all the time. It's about spending right. And I believe that they can do it. I'm not an FSG out person like these idiots on Twitter. Top reds, as they call them, you know. We're looked down upon. The people that talk sense about Liverpool are looked down upon. We're not the Grizz Khans and whoever else is in this world that come and chat a whole lot of nonsense on the timeline. But we'll see. We'll see. Norwich first game of the season. If they batter Norwich, then people will shut up. You get what I'm saying? But this is it.
You know, and people forget that obviously you signed that central defender from Leipzig, yeah, which probably means you won't see Fabinho at centre back. You probably won't see Henderson at centre back. You might see more of Thiago. Hell, you might see more of Jota. You might see more of. And this is it. You know, last season was a bit of an anomaly for Liverpool because they had so many injuries, so much going on, and it killed them, absolutely decimated them. I don't think Liverpool are going to be anywhere near as bad as they were last season. And to be fair, how many points behind United did you finish?
5, and less goals than them, which still absolutely is quite bizarre when you think the way they're talking about how Wan-Bissaka. What did Rio Ferdinand say? He's the best one-on-one defender in Europe.
Who said that?
Rio Ferdinand about Wan-Bissaka. Luke Shaw's just had the season of his life. And bloody Gary Neville talks about Harry Maguire like he's flipping prime Maldini. So how you're letting in more goals than Liverpool, who had their midfielders playing in defence, I have no flipping idea, but such is life.
Can we please never mention Rio Ferdinand on this podcast ever again?
I'm sorry, he had to do it, man.
Steve, let's talk about your boys then. Scott Carson is the only signing you guys have made. sorry, man. It reminds you of Richard Wright when you guys signed him. But Aguero's gone. Eric Garcia's gone. I can't see City standing still in this transfer window. Something's going to happen, isn't it? There's talk of Erling Haaland, and he's come out saying that £157 million is a lot for one player. You guys obviously need a striker, but I get the feeling that Guardiola's got something else in mind or something else up his sleeve.
Well, yeah, obviously we're waiting for Kane and or Grealish, hopefully both. It's just gone a little bit quiet, but City have played today. Mahrez has played, Cancelo's played, Diaz has played, but you just feel like they're just kicking in now a little bit. And I think we've heard very little from Pep Guardiola and the backroom, you know, team, the Spanish guys behind the scenes. We've heard very little, and I totally agree with you. They've obviously got something lined up the sleeve, and it'll just explode possibly in the next 10 days or so. And I think it's the chasers that are doing the business early because they need to. But I think we're obviously going to probably sign players that went deep into the Euros, which would be Kane and Grealish. I don't think it will be Haaland. I never have. And possibly, I'm still wondering if we'll actually sign a left-back, but although I do think Zinchenko does superb and he also had a good Euros, there's plenty of time, plenty of money and plenty of expectation. I think that Manchester City will do something before the season starts though.
Stes, would you, if Harry Kane ends up staying, would you take Danny Ings?
I wouldn't turn him down as a supporter because he's a class Premier League player that's done it at Burnley and Southampton. I would worry that he's a penalty box king, actually. He's outstanding. He scores goals from outside the box. Mm-hmm. He seems to be 2, 3, 4 injuries a year. Rod, it's not a sit-on-the-fence job, but I would obviously say yes because if that's where we're at, that's where we're at. But I'm hoping we could upgrade rather with Kane or Haaland. I'm still that greedy, but I wouldn't say no to it, no. Would you?
I want Ings back at Liverpool. But, you know.
Yeah.
I just think he'd be perfect for safe, like, say, in the box. You know?
Oh, brilliant, yeah. In the box.
Yeah.
He's industrious and got guile, Steve. And the way that City interchange positions, I think he'll have a field day scoring goals for you lot.
I'm sure he would. I'm sure he would too. So, I would.
Well, Steve, City have been playing with what they call a false nine for quite a while now. And there's a certain footballer who's currently playing for a club that Sergio Aguero has joined. And they're trying to get rid of him. he's on like $600,000 a week, and I highly doubt he'll get that at Manchester City. But
are you talking about blackface though?
Yes. How did you know? Wow.
Well, the wages were a
You're
giveaway.
Good.
The wages were such a big giveaway.
No, you're good. God, see, we'll talk about Antoine Griezmann here, a player that scored goals for every club he's played for, Champions League, for France, Barcelona. If he became available, do you think there's a chance that City would go in? I mean, what do you mean if he is available? What am I talking about? If he's available on a free and all City have to do is pay his wages, however much it would, do you think he's a player that Guardiola would like in his team?
Not for me, Stel. First of all, I've seen his quote that he would only go to Atletico Madrid, back to Atletico Madrid. So that's made me think, well, that's not happening. And if you look at him in the Euros, he was very rarely up against centre-halves. He was very rarely running centrally into the penalty area. He was coming deep for the ball in an unnumbered 10 position, or he was playing off the side. So we've got six players that can do that, you know, including Ferran Torres, you know, Sterling, Phil Foden, Bernardo Silva, Riyad Mahrez. We don't need another attacker that plays off the side. We don't need another attacker that comes short for the ball. We need someone, like Rodri said, in and around the penalty area, running past centre-halves to score goals. Aguero in his pomp, obviously. And Haaland, a different profile, and certainly Harry Kane. So to answer your question, Stel, however class Griezmann obviously is, we don't need him at Manchester City.
Okay, so I'm going to ask another off-topic question here. It is related to Man City. But do you think that they haven't announced or they haven't done any transfer business yet because of the... because they knew what was happening with the Daily Mail and the article about the emails and, you know, about the club having millions funneled into them by Abu Dhabi to inflate their income, so to speak? Do you think that's the reason why they've kind of kept it really quiet on the transfer front? Because people are going to be like, well, where are they getting all this money from?
Well, throw it to the lads, but not for me, because all the targets aren't back to work yet, really. Just in Kane and Grealish, still on the holidays, not reported back for Aston Villa and Tottenham. City don't have to commit until it's time to all come back to work, whether it be at the Etihad or at Villa Park or at Tottenham's ground. You know, it's just like nothing needs to happen at the moment for City. They don't need to have their nose in the dirt yet. The lads are still on. The lads who are the main targets are not ready to report back for pre-season. It can't be long now, surely. I presume Harry Kane's not back at Tottenham. You keep seeing Harry Kane, Grealish on a beach somewhere. So I don't think he's back, is he?
What you've seen, Stel, with these big deals, you know, Sancho took over a year. Yes, he's still on his holidays, but this one's took over a year. So, you know, deals like a Grealish or a Kane, it's not just a, yeah, okay, there's a lot of things that they've got to go through because it's a big, massive deal or negotiate or, you know, Sancho, they've literally been doing it for a year.
Yep.
Ram was come out of nowhere. So, yeah, it's a good signing, but yeah, these deals, especially when they're on the holidays, the last thing they want to do is be messing about. They want to relax, enjoy themselves, and then, yeah, when we're coming back from the holidays, we'll get to work and we'll sort it out.
I remember after the Derby friendly, Solskjaer said that the English players were going to be back within 10 days, and that was when? When was that game, Rod? What was United Derby? Saturday, was it? Can't remember.
No, QPR was Saturday.
QPR was Saturday. Derby was...
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Tuesday, yeah, so they'll probably be back in 3 or 4 days now.
Well, there's a couple of comebacks today. I've seen pictures of Hernandez back training today. So they're going to come back in dribs and drabs, aren't they? But mostly probably be back.
Well, these two have played in the final, haven't they? So they'll
probably mostly be back for, you know, you set a round date, probably next coming up and coming Monday.
Yeah,
right.
Agree.
Right, okay. Right, so that's City, Liverpool and United done. Christ, we've done over an hour. Fuck me. Right. I don't know which club we should move on to next. Let's go to Arsenal and Chelsea then, shall we? Because the Arsenal brought in Nuno Tavares and Lokonga. Yep. One from Benfica, one from Anderlecht. Lokonga looks like a decent player, to be fair. But yeah, Luiz has gone. Mavrobanos has gone out on loan again. Guendouzi's gone out on loan again. Saliba's on loan again. Is Ozil still an Arsenal player? I don't even know.
No, Ozil's gone down. just about.
Fuck me. So what's going on with them? Because I'm seeing, you know what Arsenal Twitter's like, right? You see one side getting all fucking crazy, saying, oh, we're not signing big names. Not fair. And then you've got the other side that are saying, oh, Arteta's doing something. He's signing these players that not really many people know about. And then you've got the other side saying, oh, yeah, but they're fucking shit. And then you've got the other side going back to them saying, well, you need to give them chances because, you know, we gave Thierry Henry a chance. And it's just like, you know, me and my next door neighbour in the bins situation.
They're not in Europe now for the first time since the... 90s.
Since ever.
Yeah, since the 96-97 season, yeah? This is the first time they've not been in Europe. So the fans have to be realistic. But saying that, the Ben White deal looks like it will go through within the next week to 10 days for £50 million. And I've got a feeling that they're going to use him in central midfield as well as at centre-half, especially if they let Granit Xhaka go to Roma. So I don't know what it will take for their fans to look at things realistically. They can't expect to be buying players of Champions League pedigree when they're not in Europe. But then they'll go back, oh, last season we were in the Europa League and we got Thomas Partey. For me, that was a terrible decision by Partey, but maybe he just went to come and experience the Premier League. But as you said, it's a funny fan base. Some of them are thinking, yeah, we're fading away into mid-table obscurity, or some others think that they can actually make a top four challenge because of the fact they won't have the distraction of Europe. So that fan base is equivocal as it gets. But we'll see. I think Ben White's a good player, but it obviously is that English tax, isn't it? That he'd be going for 50, but they'll do some other business. They've tied down Emile Smith Rowe, new contract, so they'll do more stuff and they'll be an interesting team to look at next season because they don't let in that many goals, but they don't score nearly as much as they used to. We'll see if Nicola Pepe can start the season like he finished last season, but we'll see. But Arsenal fans, for me, if they were to even to come sixth, they should be happy with that, to be in my opinion, because they
with that squad
that's what I'm saying, they finished eighth two seasons in a row. So if you can finish higher than that, then be happy. But top four, whatever, regardless, no Europe or not, nah. I can't see it right now. And if they buy Aaron Ramsdale, they are idiots.
Oh, Steve will be ready for that. Steve will be ready.
You sold Emi Martinez for 17 million, right? After his performances in the semis and the final were a huge reason behind you winning the FA Cup. Ramsdale is nowhere near him in any department. Shot stopping, commanding the box, catching crosses, punching, nowhere in anything, and you're going to go and spend 30 million on him. What the hell is that? So I don't understand. Some of the signings they make, I understand. Like, as you said, Alonga looks like a good player. Look, there's potential there, but Ramsdale, what sense would that? I don't get their recruitment. Don't understand it.
Right. I was going to mention Chelsea, Steve, but let's talk about Spurs because Christ, what a summer their fans have had. Honestly, talk about roller coaster. Talk about, you know, manic depressants. Fucking hell, they lost their manager. They took forever to bring in a new manager. It seemed that, you know, Nuno was like third choice. They've got rid of a few players like Danny Rose, Gazzaniga's gone. But Lamela's left, he's gone to Sevilla. Adeviro has gone as well. They can't get Romero, the central defender from Atalanta, because he doesn't want to go there now. And I guess the big news coming out of Spurs today is that tickets are going on sale for the Anthony Joshua fight at their stadium in September. So that's it. So what do we say about Spurs? I mean, it's, you know, Arsenal fans joke about Spurs being a meme club, but they really are one now, aren't they? Like, you can't not take the piss out of them.
I think we've covered it without realising, Stel. Rodri went into some really good detail about it. First of all, they've managed to get Son on a longer contract now, which is excellent news. I think they milked it because there's no other noise coming out of the club. So that's obviously great news for them. But I think we need to give them some football courtesy here. They can't do anything until they know what's happening with Harry Kane. So if he decides to stay, then they build a team around him and everybody's happy and everybody renews the season ticket and they start singing, he's one of our own, etc., etc. If he goes, they wipe the tears away. They move on to a new chapter in their lives. And possibly they've got 100 million, 120, even more as a war chest to go and spend on a new football team. So it feels a little bit dormant at the moment, but surely it's because the most coveted centre forward and transfer in European football, probably ahead of Haaland, is just waiting to just develop one way or the other. And Spurs are doing the okie-cokie at the moment because they just don't know whether they're in or out with Kane. And until they do, can they not start being noisy and proactive? That's how I see it.
This has got to be really, really bad management from the people at the top here, because on the one hand, I'm seeing Levy thinking, well, he's the golden goose, isn't he? If we want to get rid of him, we get rid of him on our terms. He's not going to leave on his terms. But on the flip side, he's thinking, well, I can get rid of him and bring in X amount of players, but I'm not going to get rid of him just yet. It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. And I can understand the frustration of Spurs fans. However, they have spent a lot of money in the past three or four seasons. There's no denying it. And Ndombele costs how much? 60 million? Bergwijn costs 20 odd million quid? And we can go through their squad now and see the players that they've signed. It's not as if they've kept their hands in their pockets. So there are funds there. But, you know, for you to say about Harry Kane, and I can't disagree with you. It's weird. It really is weird.
I think we'll be having a different conversation in 7 days' time.
Yeah?
I think we'll know. Okay. I think it'll be a lot clearer. And then I think, obviously, then if he goes, I think they'll be exciting in recruitment. I think they'll be aggressive because they'll have a bit to throw around and play with. If he stays, they'll be even more happier with that, I presume, the Tottenham fans. So I think we're just 7 days premature on Tottenham, if you for my liking.
Dee, tell us about Brian Hill then from Sevilla. I know Lamela's gone the other way. What can you tell us about this player?
He's an exciting young player, techie, wide, but I'm sure that they'll use him when possible in field as well. But yeah, he is mainly a wide man. But now this could be a really good buy. But then at the same time, though he's younger, it could be like, when they got Lamela in, he'd had a really good season at Roma. And he's shown bits and pieces of brilliant, but injuries, I know he's gone through some mental issues and whatnot. This here, he could do the bits that they expected Lamela to do if it goes right, though he's coming in younger than him. But it all depends. He'll probably be eased in and start the Conference League games as well at first, but he could be, his youth and exuberance could be what they need, because sometimes you watch Tottenham play attacking wise and it just looks as though, unless Kane and Son pull something out of the bag, they're not going to score. Bergwijn scored on his debut against Man City and hasn't done much since, but missed big chances really, so we'll see. But I definitely expect them to do more business. But losing Alderweireld, and Juan Foyth has gone, well, he was on loan there last season, gone Villarreal. They need to buy a centre-back, because, or at least one, because they make some shambolic errors at the back, Tottenham do. But now I'm looking forward to see what Gil does. He might get into my FPL team still.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about FPL now, yeah? It's all about FPL. Well, he does sound like an intriguing player, and Spurs have lacked that player on the opposite side to complement Song. And if Spurs do play a counter-attacking system, then yeah, great, he's perfect. That being said, I'm fully expecting Nuno to play a 5-3-2 like he did at Wolves. So what does that mean for players like Hill? Is it going to be five at the back, two midfield, two in behind the front man? I don't know. I really don't know what kind of system it's going to be.
I'm probably expecting that. Yeah, five.
The rebirth of Doherty.
Playing with the manager that got the best out of him. So yeah,
he's on the list. He's gone on the transfer list, hasn't he?
Is he?
I think so.
Oh, wow, that I didn't know. Wow. Any chance Connor Cody going there then?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Certainty.
Really? Oh, yeah. Well,
the one I called, as soon as he come in, though, obviously, he's just coming back. Jimenez.
Jimenez, yeah?
Yeah. That was the first. As soon as he got the job, that's the first thing that comes
even
to
with
mind.
That injury?
That's the first thing that comes. Yeah, but he's going to wear headgear and that. Look, he'll be okay.
I don't know, man. All right. Well, are there any other clubs really worth talking about at the moment?
I've got one to pose you all at the end. I'll save it for the end. I've just thought one in the last half hour in my mind a potential transfer, and it's not a player. There's a clue.
Okay. Very quickly then, let's talk about Everton. I didn't want to spend too much time with this, but Rafa Benitez has come in. And he's immediately released Mo Besic, Bolasie. Who else has gone?
Keep it football. Just football, please, if Everton stop.
What? I'm just saying like they...
I know. Go on. I'm being silly.
They brought in Damari Gray from Leverkusen, right? Azmir Begovic is coming from Bournemouth. Begovic has got the best agent in the fucking world, man. Like, he was at AC Milan at one point. From Bournemouth to AC Milan, then back to Bournemouth, and now Everton. Come on, this is a brilliant fucking agent. And the half Cypriot lad has joined them as well. Benitez, what's going on here? Is it come to a point now where they've got no more money, or the Ken Wright and Mashiri are just saying fuck that, no more money?
In normal cases, you'd say that these are shrewd purchases.
Don't say Demari, case. Demari don't say Gray, case. Don't say case.
No, that wasn't even. Oh, God. Right. That wasn't even intentional. Right. 1.5 million for Damari Gray. I like Damari Gray, but I don't know what happened with him and Brendan Rodgers. Went to Leverkusen, didn't really play as much as thought. I only recall him scoring one goal for them as well. Not that obviously I watch every single game in Bundesliga, but I do watch a good amount. So in normal cases, I had to use the word again. Instances, all right, I'll say then. You would say that those are shrewd purchases, and Josh Townsend on a free and Begovic on a free. But because of how much money Everton has spent in the last few years, you're thinking, okay, have they got something up the sleeve there, or what are they going to do? They've let Bernard go, and he didn't play nearly as much last season as I thought he would. But we'll see.
He's got a guaranteed 20 goals up front.
Go for it, Lewin. Rod, I know some Man United fans that want him, you know.
Keep talking.
Yeah. Diana Ross ain't scoring 20 goals. Oh,
did you see her take that penalty during the World Cup? Before you were saying 94. Come on, now you don't remember that?
Yeah, I do, yeah. But she missed it.
I know.
Yeah.
But you're calling him Diana Ross because of the bag, right?
Well.
Dan, what are you saying?
I'm done.
Listen. Before we started talking about Rod, I don't think you heard this, but before we started talking about Everton, Dan said we want to talk purely about football when it comes to Everton.
No, I heard everything.
Yeah, and he's the one that mentioned the word case. Oh, so shit. He can't turn around and start.
Well, first of all, let's get Fabian Delph out of that.
Thank you. The scummy son.
Frightening. To put him on a front page of a paper, now that's exactly. The headline. Exactly. He will be having a field day.
What have I missed? What have I missed? You said Fabian Delph.
Did you see Fabian Delph on the front of the Sun the other day still?
No, I didn't.
Scummy.
When the story come out, they thought it was Fabian Delph and his picture was on the front page of the Sun.
Oh.
Saying Everton player, yeah. blah, blah, blah.
Because they said it's a 31-year-old, so they put Delph on there, but they knew exactly what they did.
Put the black kid on.
Yep, put the black man on there.
Him in his brief will have a field day.
Damages.
Bad.
Yep. Fucking hell.
Yep.
Fucking hell.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, that paper, it's not even a paper, man. It's I wouldn't even wipe my ass with it.
And you know the worst thing about them putting Delph there at that time? He got sent from their pre-season for COVID regulations or something like that. So everything...
Yeah, people started assuming
because they said it was a 31-year-old footballer at Everton, so everything was just fitting together. And they've gone in there to sell papers. They're just nasty. It's a nasty, vile human being.
Front page as well, like a full length picture of him in his football Everton kit.
Fuck me. Okay. Wow. All right. So with Andros Townsend in the team, Rod, how many goals is Calvert-Lewin going to get? I can't bad mind him, man.
Rod said 35 league goals. That's what Rod said.
Well, you know, but You've got to give Everton credit for bringing in a man of losing a guy of stature of Carlo Ancelotti and bringing arguably the same quality. Because Rafa Benitez says, you know, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Champions League. Yeah. Yes, all right, he's been at Newcastle for the last few years, but, you know, he's still a top-class coach.
Then he went to China.
China. Well, you've got to get paid, obviously. So, yeah, he's still a very good coach, but, you know, Andres Townsend...
Is he going to cross it? He's like Mahrez. He just wants to shoot.
Yeah, he just wants to shoot. He's like, he's right. He'd be what a frustrating centre forward. You'd be like in training, just fucking cross the ball, you prick. I'm doing doggies in the centre in the middle. You know, but you would as a centre forward. You go, mate, just cross the fucking ball. I'm just going like left, right, like a fucking. Just cross the ball. I've done it before as a centre forward, mate. Just cross the ball. What are you doing out there? What are you doing? What's your job out there? To cross the ball. So yeah. It's frustrating. He does come inside a lot and just sounds in and gets himself in trouble, then he has to have a shot. So yeah.
I don't think Calvert-Lewin will get as many goals because of that.
Yeah.
Ten.
Where does Richarlison play? They've got some good players, Everton.
Talking about Richarlison going to Real Madrid, Rod.
Yeah, so if they lose him, that's a big loss. And then who else they've got? You know, Signas is obviously, he's going to be in the jug soon, so he won't be about. So who else? Yeah, they've got some good players. James Rodriguez, will he stay? Probably, with Benitez being Spanish, and he might be able to talk him, I don't know, but, you know, he's a quality player. So if they lose some players... But, you know, Everton now, with them doing so well, you know, teams will be know about them now, so they'll have to prepare properly because, you know, Everton have got some decent players.
Mm. Right, I can't really think of any other team to talk about, really.
Villa have done some business.
Yeah? Go on, talk about Villa then. Tell me what Villa have done because I have really not been paying
attention. Don Terry's left. What's that? What thing's happened there? You just got sick of it.
No, that's my question. That's my question for the end, Rod. I've got a devil's mind about it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What job, Steve? I'm intrigued.
No. We'll do it at the end. I've just got something to run into at the end.
Villa were trying.
Bundia's coming.
Yeah, they were trying to get through for it, but Bundia's a good player. I'm surprised no one bought him as soon as Norwich went down.
Villa have made some good signings. You have to keep Grealish. It's all right bringing these players in, then you lose probably the best player. You have to keep Grealish.
Yeah.
Well, that's a get. Is Barkley still on loan?
No, he's linked with Newcastle now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashley Young's coming, Villa.
He did well for him, actually, Ross Barkley. Yeah, he's a weird player, him, because he's got everything to be a top player. He's just a numpty, isn't he? Why is he not playing? Look, he's got everything. As you want, as a midfielder. He's like that adult to rat. Got everything, but it's professionally, probably not.
To rat plays as a holding midfielder for Benfica now. But in regards to Villa, Leon Bailey, they're being linked to. If they get Bailey, I think then we've already getting Bundia in. Bertrand Traore had a good season. It's like they're preparing for Grealish to go to Man City. Unfortunately, I don't want Man City getting any stronger. But and they tried to bid for a Will Smith Rowe a couple of times, so they've got money. I think someone said in terms of like just cash or whatever, that Villa's owner is the third richest after Sheikh Mansour and Abramovich or something like that, I read somewhere. So they'll do more business, but they've got a decent squad there. But considering how well they did in the first part of last season, Grealish got injured and I think they won 2 out of 13 games. So if he gets sold, then it looks like they're bringing good people in. They're probably just looking at finishing 10th or 11th or something like that again, regardless of how many goals Ollie Watkins gets.
I can't see Grealish getting sold with that chairman.
If he stays,
you don't need to sell him. Why would you want to sell him? If they want to, unless the kid goes in and says, listen, I want to go, I want to play Champions League, you know, then you could probably see it. But then he loses a load of money if he does that.
So we'll see. But they're definitely going to do more business because they've got a bit of money there.
There you go. Right, Steve, go on. What's your riddle me this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've got a devil's mind. I have occasionally, but not permanently. But I've seen John Terry leaves Aston Villa just 2 weeks before the season. Is it just me that doesn't believe that it's been done before, but he's going to fly around Europe, watch different training sessions of different clubs and different styles and managers and cultures, all in all, you know, to help him become a top manager one day? It's very noble of him in his own personal development, but I just, for me, and it's a wild one. There was a time when possibly was he going to go to Chelsea, but they couldn't see him and Frank Lampard together, even though they were close friends and teammates. Who would be the manager? Who would be the assistant? But could he go back to Chelsea now under Thomas Tuchel? The fact that Chelsea are really going to push for the Premier League and they are Champions League winners. But I've got this hunch he's going to go to City. I've got this hunch that John Terry is going to go on the staff at Manchester City. He always has that 5 or 10 minute cosy chat with Guardiola, which, to be fair, Guardiola has with others, but they always seem quite close and pally. He's got unbelievable Champions League experience, but there is room for him on the staff. You've got Rodolfo Borrell and another Spanish ageing gentleman who helps right and left of Pep Guardiola. Key to this is Brian Kidd's title was assistant manager, English. Of course, he's a different age and generation, but he's retired. So Manchester City at this moment in time are a staff member down. Why wouldn't it be John Terry, lads?
I'm putting money down. Steve's convinced me.
He wants to learn. Well, you're only going to learn off the best. There's a space on the roster because Brian Kidd has resigned. There's no English coach on the staff because Brian Kidd has also retired. The other two are Spanish non-players, really. They sit right and left of him in the dugout. You've got two young centre-halves in Diaz and Stones. Who better to learn from than John Terry? And it's just that cosiness when I see Guardiola and John Terry on the footage that makes it look very familiar to me. And just that little gap on the roster. And when I saw him step down, my instinct just told me straight away, he's going to City. So I'm just throwing it out there. Stel, you've gone quiet.
I don't know what to make of it, in all fairness. Listen, stranger things have happened. I wouldn't rule it out. That's all I've got to say, really. That's hit me for six, really. More fairness.
I told you it's random, Roddy. What are you saying?
I don't know. You never know what he says is a smokescreen, but you know, you'd think he's been a coach long enough now. What you'd think, you know, you've seen Wayne Rooney, you've seen Frank Lampard, you've seen Steve Gerrard. Think, you know what, I want to do this myself now, just go away. Maybe, possibly, right? Who else?
Something else, God.
Better to learn from than Pep Guardiola and be promised, you know, in 2 years, 3 years, if Pep goes, you'll take over.
He's also coached Jack Grealish for the last 2 years and played with him for 2 years before that.
And they do look really pally when you see pictures of him and talking. And obviously, he's been a big help for Jack in the change rooms. So.
Become a leader. Don't rule. Yeah. Do not rule. It's not a stick on, but do not rule this out.
Wow, okay.
Interesting, man.
I think we'll just leave it there then.
That might, well, they might, you know, if they bring that in, it'd be it's a good smoke screen for not bringing any players in the strength, isn't it?
Just a hunch that I've got. Nothing other. Not heard a thing. Just a hunch.
Because you expect City usually do the business pretty early and get it done. And yes, I know there's been a Euros, but still like to get the business done. They're quite efficient in that way. And to leave it, you know, leaving it late.
Keep an eye.
But in the, you know, on the flip side, if they are bringing in the players talked about, these players are stalwarts in the Premier League, so they don't need games to get into it, do they?
Watch this space.
All right, I'll tell you what then. I know it's too soon to say this or too soon to make the predictions, but based on the current transfer activity, what you've seen so far, let's just say the window ends now. Who are your top four?
Me?
All of you.
City. In obviously in order. City, Chelsea, United, Liverpool.
Okay. Dan?
Same four, just different order.
Go on.
City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man United.
Okay, Rod?
Going off now, if it was saying now...
That weirdo on Sky is wearing the yellow tie and all that shit and the bong.
Natalie Chelsea look strong, United look strong, and City look strong. So it'd be out of them three. Liverpool, you still need to see if Van Dijk hits the ground running and is okay, because you know he's been out for a long, long time. He's a big lad. Is he the same person? If he is, then you can throw Liverpool in the mix. But Arsenal, Tottenham, they're behind the eight ball. They haven't really brought any real quality players in. So, and they had a poor season to their standards. So, yeah, them four again, but a lot tighter. All four of them bunched up.
What order, Rod?
I'm planning to go with Chelsea, United and City, but, you know, it'd be close.
Okay, fair enough.
And you, Stel?
I'd probably go City, Liverpool, United, and I'd say Chelsea, but Giroud's gone. They haven't got any strikers. Who's going to score goals for them, for fuck's sake?
Well, they've got Havertz, they've got Vernon, they've got Tammy Abraham. Vernon's only going to get better. He looks like he's a player in him. Havertz is still young and it's a big price tag. Tammy Abraham, I'm not sold on him, to be honest. So,
I don't know.
Giroud didn't really play much. Giroud's just a hit the big lad.
Yes, he brings other players in.
He didn't play a lot still. He didn't really play a lot last year.
He scored some important goals for him, man.
Yeah, he did, but he didn't really play a lot.
City, Liverpool, United.
You just like the donkeys. He's like the other one in Everton.
Still, you know you want to say Leicester, so just do it, man.
I do.
Patson Dakar.
So out of everyone in the
huge signing,
how out of the three that have come up, will all three stay up? Will Norwich, have they learned a lesson from last year? Because you've seen it. They go down, come back up, they seem to get better. We've seen it, but no.
Norwich, Brentford, and who else came up? Norwich, Brentford, and Watford. They're all going down.
Watford. I think Brentford are going to surprise.
I think Brentford will be the ones that.
Brentford are going to surprise with their brand.
There's always one that shot like from last year. What was it? Leeds and who come up? Leeds.
Was it West Brom? No,
yeah, Leeds. West Brom. Yeah, it was West Brom, wasn't it?
Leeds, West Brom, and
Fulham. Yeah. They're all going down, man.
The two of them went down and Leeds stayed up. There's always one that stays up.
Fulham, yeah.
But
I think Brentford will surprise. I don't think they'll do it the way Leeds did, but I think Brentford's style of football. No. Tony will get about 12 league goals, and I think Brentford's style of football will surprise.
And who's going to be the surprise package? Who's made the most acute signings? Villa? Newcastle really haven't done anything. Who else is there? Tottenham, we talked about not doing anything. Arsenal, Everton.
I think Leeds will do well.
Southampton will be one for us to watch out for because they've got quality players. But if Danny Ings goes, that's a big loss for them.
They could go down.
No, I think Leeds will do well. I think Leeds will do well this season.
Is this finally the year that when we lose Burnley?
Oh, Kabaddi FC.
Kabaddi.
No. If they keep Daesh, if he stays there, then they're staying up. It's that simple.
They've got a solid base. Like, look at them two, me and Tarkowski. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, they're not picking up the league title winners, but they're a solid back two of them to get past.
Yeah. All right, chaps, that's it for another episode. Thank you for jumping on. Socials, Rod.
Rod James Giggs.
Dan.
At double D, that's DUBULDEE.
And your
podcast. All good. Of course, part of the D&D Football Factory.
I'm still waiting for the audio for the weekend. Yeah, I'm still waiting for it myself.
Yeah. that's at DD40Factory _ on all the socials. And we go live on Top FM on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Best to listen to it on TuneIn or Simple Radio.
Yeah.
Well, actually, dab, baby.
There you go. Steve is not on any socials, so thank you again for your time, Steve. Appreciate it, man.
Smart, man. See you next time, lads.
We shall do it sometime, hopefully Monday next week. So, boys and girls, that's it for another episode. We'll be back next week. So, until next time, adios, take care, et cetera, et cetera.
See you later. Boom!
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.